Hey again, travel bosses. I'm excited to bring you this week's sponsor, TripStreak, the smarter travel search. What I love about TripStreak is the ability to set your personal preferences to either have or avoid red-eye flights or have things like completely lie-flat seats. So the next time you need to book a flight, check out tripstreak.com/travellikeaboss.
Welcome to the Travel Like a Boss podcast, the radio show all about traveling like a boss by being your own boss. Stay tuned for weekly interviews featuring guests that have built their own online businesses. If you would like to have access to our entire back catalog, visit travellikeabosspodcast.com for instant access. And here's your host, Johnny FD.
What's up, everyone? This is Johnny, and welcome to episode 163 of the Travel Like a Boss podcast. I am in Ireland with Fabian.
Hello, everyone. Glad to join for the first time this blog.
Yeah, it's actually not a blog. It's a podcast, but I'm excited to have you on.
Perfect. That's really cool. And I'm enjoying my time with Johnny in the beautiful Ireland mountains. We are right now in the Wicklow Mountains in the county of Wicklow and sitting outside of our hostel and enjoying the beautiful sun.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. So do you want to tell everyone just how we met?
Yeah, sure. So we met basically last Saturday in Dublin. And actually, we know each other through a common friend, Sam Marks. Maybe some of you might know him already through previous podcasts.
Yeah, or on the he's the co-host of my other podcast, Invest Like a Boss.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And he's traveling with us. On Saturday, unfortunately, we're only the two of us because Sam missed his flight, right?
Yeah, so it was a bit awkward because Sam had booked a 3-bed hotel room in Dublin, and I show up. Sam was supposed to be there a few hours later than Fabian, which, you know, would have been a nice introduction. We go out for a couple of pints of beers, we get to know each other, hang out, share a room, it's fine, and then go for a walk. But Sam, he gets stuck in London because of his own crazy planning.
You want to tell the story why he got stuck in London?
Yeah.
And so, didn't fly with you in the first place?
So here's kind of the background is I've spent the last month in Barcelona with Sam, and I told him, I said, hey, forward me your flight itinerary so I can get on the same flight as you. And when he does, I see not only is the flight something like $250, which is a lot for a short flight in Europe, which is new because you can normally get a flight for less than $100. I also noticed that it had a connection in London, so the total flight time, transfer time, is going to be like 5 hours instead of like 3 hours, and you have to go through London. And I was so excited to be able to find a better flight, a direct flight with Ryanair that was only, you know, a 3-hour flight is only $50. And I sent it to him. I was like, hey, Sam, see if you can cancel your other flight. Get on this one. And guess what he says?
Well, he said, no, I want to fly business class. And that's why he stick to British Airways. And you all know right now what got out of that. So he got stuck in London, and Johnny and I were hanging out in Dublin. But I think we still had a great first night, right?
Yeah, definitely. But the funniest thing about him flying business class is not the... Because if I was going to fly international and I had to maybe go 3 hours longer or pay more for a business class flight, I'd probably do it. Because it's like you get these nice lay flat seats. It's a nice big experience.
Right.
But when you're flying from within Europe, you're on these tiny planes anyways. And they don't even have a business class section.
Yeah, the only thing you might get is when you a free sandwich or free Coke or something. But
yeah,
there's no really value for this short distances.
It's the same size seats. You get basically the first row, so you maybe get like 2 extra inches. But it's not like a really nice, like it's not that different. So I'd rather be cramped in economy on a short flight, but have a direct flight and just get there and have less of a chance of getting screwed over. And, you know, to be fair, Sam had no idea that there was going to be this British Airways meltdown. Nobody knew.
No, right. You're right. He couldn't have seen that. But still, I'm totally with you that I prefer a direct flight, a cheaper flight for sure, and be faster at my destination with a higher probability with no turbulences or no problems in between changing the flights.
So every time you change a flight or every time you go through another airport, you have another chance of getting delay or worst off, getting your bags lost like Sam did.
Exactly. Or you have to change terminals and you have to walk for 20 minutes or even take a shuttle. I prefer direct flights for sure.
If you guys listen to the older episode with me and Sam were in Bulgaria, he told a story about how he lost his luggage there as well. I think he's very prone to these things. They like to, bad luck likes to follow him in flights. But what was really funny and kind of a lesson learned on our part is for the first 2 days of the hike, he didn't have his luggage with him. He just had his carry-on bag. And by the time his luggage actually arrived this morning, he no longer wanted it.
Yeah, that was crazy. So we walked the first 2 days, 20 kilometers each day, and he just had his backpack, and basically in his backpack there was his laptop and some other basic stuff. And he got so used to it, and the lesson learned, as you said, just travel with the least amount of equipment and clothes as possible if you do a hiking trip like this.
Well, even just like any trip at all, it almost kind of seems like we always just overpack. We just have too much stuff, and I know I'm really guilty of it. I always have way too much crap that I think I might need or might make my life a little bit better. But in reality, when it comes to traveling, especially long-term traveling, we're doing especially if we're doing a hike where we're carrying everything on our back for, you know, even a few days, it's so much better just to have less stuff.
Right. If you directly jump into a taxi to the hotel and then to the next spot, it doesn't really matter how heavy your equipment is. But if you do a lot of backpacking, a lot of hiking, a lot of skiing, like adventurous sports where you need not a heavy equipment, this is the way to go. Just pack as least as possible.
So any packing tips or regrets that you've had so far?
Well, I'm totally the same as you, so I'm overpacking all the time. For example, for this trip, I brought a thick sweater, and look at us. We are sitting in shorts outside, and it's like 20 degrees in the sun with our sunglasses, so definitely wouldn't take that again. And what I usually also do is take too much socks, take too much underwear, and too much T-shirts. So, yeah, I'm guilty of overpacking as well.
It's better just not to wear underwear at all, right?
Depends. Depends where you are. Like here, it would be a bit weird, but if you're at the beach and it's at night, no one cares, then go out without it, yeah.
Actually, you laughed at me when I told you I only brought two pairs of underwear.
Yeah, that's true. I think everyone has to know his hygienic standards, and I like to change my underwear every day. But I'm just joining this walk for the first days, and you go the whole trip, 40 or 30 days. Depends on how fast you are. So I think this makes also the difference. For the first 4 days, I can easily pack the amount of underwear I need.
So wouldn't I need more underwear because I'm staying longer?
True, but you are prepared to make laundry, okay? And you are prepared to wash your stuff at night. And I didn't want to do that when I just joined for the first part. So that's the reason I guess I have more underwear with you. And come on, like, if you run out of them in the next 2 days, I can spare you one pair, no problem.
I don't know if you want to wear your underwear. So one big travel tip for everyone is there are brands of underwear that are quick dry. I use a brand called Ex Officio that was recommended by Tim Ferriss, and they've been my favorite underwear for the last, I don't know, maybe 7 years I've been traveling.
How come? What's so special about them?
So their slogan is seven countries, 4 months, one pair of underwear, okay, maybe two. And reason why they work that way is they're antimicrobial, so they don't smell. They're quick dry, so you can just wash them in the sink and then just they dry overnight. And they're just comfortable. I get the black boxers, so you can't really tell that they are underwear at like a really quick sight. So I end up actually swimming in them a lot. I've actually swam in like more than 10 or 20 swimming pools or in oceans just in my underwear, which allows me not to have to always bring a extra pair of like board shorts,
which saves you weight at the end, right?
Exactly. As well as just, you know, if it's a spontaneous moment, like I was at a party one time and I was like, oh, let's go swim. Actually many times. And because I'm just in, you know, black boxers that are quick dry and they look like, no, they just look like shorts. It's almost like multi-purpose.
Yeah, I agree. I really have to make use of that the first time. What's the name of the brand again?
Ex Officio.
Okay, and how much do you pay for one pair?
They're a little bit expensive. I think they're like $20 to $25 a pair, okay, depending on where you buy them. But you can buy less pairs. So instead of having 7 or 10 pairs, you can literally have 3 or 4 and you're okay.
Okay, good tip. For my trip in Indonesia this August, I will try that, I think.
Yeah, I like it. So how did you meet Sam?
Yeah, that is a funny story. It was back in 2011 and I was just finished my social service. This is like a program you had to do in the old days, let's say it like that, in Germany. So maybe to my background, I'm 25, studying right now in Germany, and I was also born and raised there. And there was a time when you had to make a choice as a man, either to serve for the army or to do something social. I did the latter, and I ended up working in an orphans and youth house. And I saved some money, and after those 9 months, I decided to do Interrail. Maybe you guys heard about it. It's called Interrail when you are from Europe, and it's called Eurorail when you're not from Europe. So I was in Athens with the ferry and with the train, and I met Sam in a hostel, and we shared the same room, and we chatted a bit, and then decided at night, okay, let's climb the Acropolis together.
And what is the Acropolis?
The Acropolis is this big ancient building in the capital of Greece, in Athens, and it's super famous. I don't know how long it's been standing there, but it must be more than 2,000 years, I think.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, and it's a must-see when you're in the city, and it's actually for free when you're under 25. Actually, this is a good tip for all travelers out there who have a European passport. There are so many sites and museums in Europe that you can go for free when you're under 25 when you have a European passport. So just as a side note.
And actually, another note on that for travelers is I think it's 25 or maybe actually, no, it might be 30, so you have some more time. If you ever want to live for a while in Australia, it's really easy to get a work permit when you're under 30, but almost impossible, really hard afterwards.
Right. So you guys should do that before. For example, my brother did it for like 1 year, work and travel in Australia, and it's super easy to get a permit for that. Yeah.
Well, how did he like it?
Well, he loved it. I think this is another story. We could have a whole blog about that as well. But he traveled along the coast, and the main time he worked in Melbourne, because he's of the opinion that Melbourne is way better than Sydney.
It is.
Yeah.
Except for people that from Sydney, they think it's.
But that's everywhere in the world, right? That people are super proud of their city, and then they can't like say except if other people think those cities are nicer.
And you know, I think maybe on paper Sydney it might be better because it has a beach, it has good surfing, the weather is a little bit more stable, while Melbourne has four seasons in one day. It can be like rainy and foggy and then hot and then whatever. But Melbourne is better because of the culture. It has better coffee culture. People are nicer. People are less materialistic. It reminds me more of San Francisco versus Sydney is just like LA. Like, even just if you count the number of Louis Vuitton stores, you can tell that Sydney is a lot more materialistic. The people are a little bit more stuck up and they're just not as down to earth. And I think that's why most people like Melbourne better.
Yeah. So coming back to the topic, and we climbed the Acropolis, and at night we decided to go out for dinner and have some beers, and we had a fun night, and we kept in contact through Facebook, and it ended up that I visit Sam in Edinburgh, where he built up his first company in the next year. And
so when you met him, how long ago was this?
That was 2011. So let's say, yeah, exactly 6 years ago.
So
yeah.
This was before he sold his company.
Yeah. Yeah. It was way before. It was the starting point of his e-cigarette company. So, he was showing me the first products they just made, and it was fun vaping around.
Did you smoke it?
Yeah, of course. Back then, I still used to smoke a bit cigarettes, and, I also used the e-cigarette stand, and it was fun. I was with a friend, Dennis, and, we had a fun night, and at the end I said we exchanged contacts, and then I visited him in Edinburgh, and then since then we swore that we will visit each other at least once a year, and guess what, it's still working today. So we saw
wow, yeah. 6 years now.
Yeah.
So where have you guys been together?
Well, that's a good question. So I think we started in Edinburgh. Then he visited me in back at my parents' place, actually. We drove to Luxembourg, which is really close, where I grew up. And then we went to the famous Oktoberfest in Munich.
Super.
Yeah. Well, as a German, I like beer, I guess. And we had a super fun days. And then we went to Valencia in Spain. And we did the famous Tomatina. I don't know if you guys have heard about that.
No, what is that?
The Tomatina is the largest tomato fight in the world.
Oh, that sounds so fun. You actually like run around and throw tomatoes at each other.
Exactly. So it's not really directly in Valencia. It's outside of Valencia, like a 45-minute bus ride, but there are local tour operators who will manage everything for you. And it's in a small town called Buyol. And what's happening there is like 30,000 people waiting until big trucks come in the streets and push tomatoes on the streets. And then you pick the tomatoes up, you squeeze them, because that's a gentleman's rule. So you don't throw them without squeezing, otherwise it will hurt, right? And you throw them at the other people, and it's so much fun. And everyone, of course, has before a lot of sangria to get in the mood. And the best thing at the end is, like, there's a small river next to Buyol, and all the people are cleaning themselves then in the river, and it's, like, super fun.
Wow, that's cool. How long does the actual tomato fight last?
That's a good question. I think it's a couple of hours. And so it's pretty tense because, you know, you get hit, then you have to throw back. I wore goggles because a friend of mine told me before I wear goggles. Otherwise, the acid of the tomatoes goes in your eyes. And it was a super good recommendation. So I could easily get a hit, but throw back at the same time.
I'm willing to bet any amount of money that Sam did not wear goggles.
I think I brought him goggles, but he didn't wear them. Yeah. He said, I don't need them.
And he's used to getting a lot of things in his eye. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, let's keep it like that.
So that sounds like a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of the water gun fight with the water festival in Thailand called Songkran.
Exactly. I've never been there. When I was in Thailand, I missed it. I just traveled south. But I heard good things about it. And it's have you been there?
I've been there a couple times. It's so fun, but I wish it only lasted a few hours or maybe a day.
How long is it?
It's like a week.
Wow.
And after, maybe it's not a week, but it starts maybe a couple days before the official day because people get so excited. And then it usually goes like a day or two after because people are still kind of in the mood or they missed it. So they just do it anyways. So it ends up being like 5 days, 6 days. And by the third day, you are exhausted and so sick of getting wet every time you walk out of the house. You can't do anything. You can't like go to work. You can't go get a coffee. You can't even go get lunch without somebody coming into the restaurant and shooting you with water. And the thing is, you know, if everybody actually followed the rules, like the gentleman rules where you like squeeze the tomato first before you throw it, it'd be okay. But people are assholes, you know, they're like come into your taxi and shoot you when you have all your luggage or like they'll come in like shoot you and all your food is wet. It's like, you're like, oh God.
That's funny, yeah. Well, it's definitely on my bucket list and maybe I'll have a chance next year or something.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. I would recommend to everyone to get a hotel in the actual city because it's really dangerous to drive in and out because every year, I think like 10,000 people die of either drunk driving because sometimes, you know, people, it's a festival, people drink and drive, or you get these assholes that throw water at you while you're driving a motorcycle and you skid and
you fall over. Yeah.
And the other nice thing about being in the city is you can kind of just like go back to sleep if you need to.
All right.
So let's fast forward. So you and Sam have hung out in some awesome places.
Yeah, right. Just to name a few, we did a tour through the Croatian islands. We have been in Hong Kong together. We have been in Amsterdam for King's Day, Oktoberfest again, and now we are in Ireland.
At what point did he actually? Because when you first met him, did he have money or was he? Like, was he broke or was he like doing okay?
I don't think he was broke, but I don't think also he had a lot of money. He was just, I think, like me, you know, traveling low budget.
So he's a low budget traveler?
Yeah, obviously.
And then at what point did he like ball out and sell that company for millions of dollars?
Well, that was funny. He just like, I didn't follow his company that detailed back then. When was it, in 2014 or 15?
Yeah, I think it was around that time. I'm not sure. Yeah. Maybe 2013.
Yeah. Okay. And he dropped me an email and said, yeah, your buddy Sam made it. And then I just read the newspaper article that he sold his company. And obviously, I was super happy for him. But yeah, the friendship never changed. We are still traveling.
We're still staying in a hostel.
Yeah, right. We are staying here in a hostel, low budget. And yeah, so it just changed over time. But I think the friendship didn't change at all.
That's actually pretty funny if you think about it.
Right. Like, I don't know if I would be him, I would still do it, sleeping in a hostel with two other guys, but I guess that's
washing our socks in a sink, in a hostel sink, and hanging it on the window to dry.
Right. Unfortunately, you can't see it, but it's a funny picture, I can tell you.
I think that's actually really cool, and that actually kind of shows a lot to his character.
Definitely, yeah.
But, like, during those, like, first year or two, when he was, like, just made the money, like, do you guys remember where you guys went on that next trip?
When I would open my MacBook now, I could tell you from the pictures for sure. But I think the first trip after that was Croatia. Yeah.
And, like, at that time, was he balling out?
What do you mean balling out?
Like balling out and like, okay, now I have money. Let's rent a yacht or something.
Not really. I could see that he, like, had a little bit more money, and maybe we partied a little bit harder, let's say it like that. But I remember actually one time in Croatia that we walked down the promenade, and we wanted to sit down in a restaurant. He took the menu and said, well, no, that's too expensive. And back then I thought, okay, why does he even care about this difference of 5 to 10 euros? But it all makes sense, right? No one got rich because of spending money useless, just because of smart investments. So I think once you have that in your head, you will never change. It doesn't matter which amount of money you have.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And actually, what's funny is every time I hang out with someone that has a lot of money, I am always very curious about what are the things that they will spend a lot on, and then what are the things that they really want the good value on. And it's really different for everyone. Like, for some people, you know, they'll spend any amount of money on a car and have, like, I have a friend that's like 4 Ferraris, and he only buys them so he can get the next level up, because you have to buy, like, the lower one to get the next one. And but then we'll be out and, like, for something like really small, you know, like, for example, he might buy, like, the cheap brand of water versus the expensive water, because in his mind it's like, look, it's exactly the same, it's just the same water, just a different, like, package on it. You know, if I can have the exact same car with a different badge on it, I'd probably buy the cheaper one. But you are getting, you're getting a lot more from a Ferrari than you are a Hyundai or something.
Yeah. Actually, I remember just another funny story about this Croatian trip. We were back in Makarska, and maybe for your listeners, Makarska is not like a famous town in Croatia, but it's definitely worth it going. They have a great partying scene. This was the best club I've ever been to. It was a cave in a mountain, and the DJ was like inside the cave, and the dance floor as well. And at the same time, you could sleep, dance outside and in the water. So the ocean was right there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was, I think it was actually called The Cave in Makarska, Croatia. And it was definitely one of the best partying experience in my life.
I like it.
And then back to the story, like, we had to go to Dubrovnik. That was our next stop. And there were two options: either take a really, really long bus for cheap money, or taking a taxi, which was still affordable because Croatia, the price level is not that high. And yeah, that's when, like, me as a student, I said, okay, I would prefer the bus. But at the end, then we took a cab. And I think that's the thing. Like, if you have the money, then you pay if you have more time somewhere else. Because with the bus, we wouldn't have seen a lot of Dubrovnik. And with the cab, we would have been more flexible. It was more convenient. And I think then it makes sense to spend also a premium on top of the travel, instead of just throwing the money away. Yeah,
yeah, that definitely makes sense to experience more. So, out of all the places that you guys have been together, what do you think your favorite was?
That's a good question. I really liked the island of Hvar in Croatia. So, it was the same trip. And Hvar is a small island, and it's famous for two things: excellent wine and good parties. And we did both. So, we had a nice Airbnb, but outside the center, however, the owner of the Airbnb had a car, and it was his taxi also for free. And he always picked us up, even at night at 5 when we came back from the partying. He picked us up and drove us to his hostel. It was amazing. We did two winery tours with a tour operator back then. And as you know, Sam and I, we really like drinking wine, picking some olives and having cheese. So this was a good experience. And at night, there's a lot of beach clubs right at the water. So you can go swim, then you have a good cocktail and you just dance. And that was super fun. So this was definitely one of the best experiences. And I think the Tomatina was just also crazy. Seeing 30,000 people smashing tomatoes at each other, and just a heads up, they were tomatoes you couldn't eat. So for all the people out there who are now afraid that like food is getting thrown away for no reason, it's not true. That was food that couldn't have been eaten before.
Well, why couldn't they eat the tomatoes?
Well, you know, I guess Europeans have a different standard how tomatoes should look, from the roundness, from the color. There should be nothing brown, for example. And they were all fine. You could still eat them. They are still healthy, but supermarkets couldn't sell them, right? So that's why they were non-eatable tomatoes.
Okay, that makes sense. And it's probably during like the height of the tomato season where they have surplus anyway.
Right. It was in July or something. I think it was definitely super hot. Or August. Yeah. August. Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll go to that.
Yeah, do it,
I'll like to.
But I heard they have now some restrictions from the people because it got more and more tourists, and they want to keep it traditional and also don't want to flood the city with tourists. So you have to check that before.
Okay, good tip. So what made you decide to come here on this trip?
Well, it was two things. Oh, actually three things when I think about it. First, as I said, Sam and I, we always try to meet up as much as possible. We met 2 weeks ago on a King's Day in Amsterdam, and before we already decided that I will join the walk. So obviously I wanted to see my friend. Second, I've never been to Ireland. I wanted to experience the country and also Dublin. And my sister and my brother and my parents have been this year, and they just told me good things. I never made it to join them for the trip because of different schedules. So I was super interested to experience it myself. And third, I just like the cause of the walk. As you might remember, in the beginning of our talk, I told you about my social service time, and I worked in a kids' house for youth, for young kids, and for orphans. And I like working with kids, and I want to do something good for society as well. So I think this is the best chance to do it, to combine both. I think fun. And also doing something which is really beneficial for people in the world who weren't as lucky as we are, who could play on playgrounds and grew up in a good society where you are safe and where your parents, you know, treat you very well. So,
yeah, so for you guys that don't know, Sam organized this walk across Ireland as a charity walk, and it's supporting children. Was it the name of the organization?
Child's Dream.
Child's Dream. And they're going to be building playgrounds in Cambodia for orphans.
Exactly.
Like, how cool is that?
It's amazing.
And I've seen some photos and videos of some playgrounds that he has actually helped build a few years ago. And I think they just saw how much joy these kids were having that he wanted to do it again. So this time he's organized this whole thing. He has a GoFundMe page on and a video that kind of shows the kids and talks a little bit more about it. I think it's super cool. So if you guys want to join in and donate to the fund, go to the show notes of this episode. I think this is 163, travellikeabosspodcast.com, and we'll have a link there for you guys to donate.
Definitely. And I just can tell you, so far, your boy Johnny here made a huge donation already, and we can be really lucky to have Johnny in our team here. And we will really make a difference. One playground is costing us $3,500. We already got funded by more than $3,500. But of course, we want to fund as much playgrounds as possible. So every help is appreciated, even if it's just $5 or $10, guys. You really make the difference.
Wow. So in the first day, we've already raised over $3,500.
Yeah. And this is only about sharing this stuff to our friends, right? Sam's network, yours network, and my network. So we can be lucky that we have such a big group of supporters who are also willing to do something good and to something amazing for these kids. And I can't wait to see the kids when we actually install the playgrounds in January.
Yeah, I think it's super cool. So big thank you to everyone who's donated so far and everyone who plans on donating. Also, thanks to Sam and you for donating yourselves as well.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, and I can just say it's for a good cause, and everyone is welcome to join.
I like it. So the walk itself, besides being a charitable cause and a way to kind of promote this fund as well as bring awareness, it's also going to be both challenging and fun for us participating.
Definitely. Actually, I just did one big walk in my life before, about 20 kilometers on Crete, an island in Greece, 2015. And I didn't practice before, so the first 2 days were a big challenge, that's for sure, yeah.
Well, let's actually walk people through what we've done so far.
Okay.
So day zero, we met in Dublin, awkwardly in the hotel room without Sam.
Exactly. But as I said before, we made the best out of the night. We went downtown Dublin, which I can recommend to everyone who loves good food and good drinks. So we went to Old Storehouse. That was the name of the pub. And we had some typical Irish food. What did you have again? You had a...
I had a Guinness stew.
A Guinness stew, exactly.
Like lamb, potatoes, carrots, and stew with some bread. And what did you have?
I had the chef's sausage, so a recommendation from the chef, and the typical Irish mashed potatoes.
So do you think the chef actually recommended it, or do you think it is named chef's sausage?
Well, everyone knows that's marketing, but it tasted awesome, so I can't complain.
So they were pretty good. I had a bite of it. It kind of reminded me of German sausage.
Yeah, it was a bit different, but I agree it was good quality.
But best of all, we had our first pints of Guinness.
Exactly. And I'm a huge beer fan, but also I like the traditional beers more than the new upcoming craft beer. So I'm not part of this whole craft beer scene as one of the only ones, right? So I like the traditional lager beers the most, and wheat beer. We drink a lot in Germany. But I have to say, the first two Guinness tasted pretty well, and what made it even more nice was the nice and amazing live music in the pub, right?
It was surprisingly good. Like, I really like live music, but I've never heard live music like I've heard in Ireland.
Well, I think that's what they are famous for, right? This pub feeling, live music, this special atmosphere, and they really transferred it to us tourists, right? So we were actually listening to the music, clapping our hands, singing along, because obviously they played also some songs that we know, and we had a good night. And then a funny thing happened, right? When we changed from the pub Old Storehouse to the Temple Bar, the world famous Temple Bar.
I randomly bumped into two friends that I had met in Chiang Mai last year at the Nomad Summit. Just middle of the bar, I had no idea they were going to be there. And I see over and I'm like, oh, that looks like, that girl looks like Hillary. And I was like, and that looks like her boyfriend Paxton. And I just walk up and I'm like, oh, it's Hillary Paxton. What are you guys doing in Dublin?
Yeah, that was funny. And those guys were super friendly, and they were with Paxton's family, visiting them on their 7 months travel trip throughout the world. Pretty crazy stories they had to tell. Amazing.
Yeah, so a big shout out to Mr. Paxton's dad for buying us the next round of Guinness.
Oh yeah, thank you again. That's true. And we then changed to another bar where we ended the night, and we went back to our hotel to be ready for the next morning, where we finally met Sam after he went to Dublin Airport, where he still didn't get his luggage, but he was able to make it to a cab and to join us. And guess where we started this famous walk?
The Temple Bar.
Exactly.
And he insisted on starting this 20-mile walk with a pint of Guinness.
Yeah, yeah, 20 kilometers where it was the first day.
I think it ended up being 20 miles.
Yeah, it was pretty long. So after the first Guinness in the Temple Bar, we started in Dublin at the Marley Park, a famous park outside of Dublin. And we managed to walk over 20 kilometers the first day, starting from lunchtime, right?
Yeah, I think we started a little bit late because we had to wait for Sam to get in. Met at 11:30, had a quick Guinness, and then got out of the park. And the walk, I mean, did you expect it to be easier or harder?
Definitely, I didn't expect it to be easier. So my muscles were hurting. after the middle of the walk, after, let's say, kilometer 10. And also the backpack, you know, you have at least, I would say, I have 7 or 8 kilos on my back. And you notice this, especially when you go the steep inclines, right? And on top of that, it was just like an exhausting day at the end. We finished at 8:30 p.m.
Yeah, so it was 8.5 hours of walking with a kind of a lunch-dinner break, which is one of the reasons why we got so off track.
Exactly. And we spontaneously in the cab to Marley Park from Dublin said that we want to go to visit that famous pub, Johnny Fox pub, right? And we ended up finding it, which took us a little bit off track. So we walked additional kilometers to get there. But I think we weren't disappointed.
I was definitely disappointed. I regret that so much.
Why?
So the pub itself was good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Decent food, but I think every pub in Ireland has good food, good Guinness, and like decent atmosphere and music. So the problem with us going there is not only do we have to go over a kilometer off the track, then we had the choice of either walking back over, you know, and it wasn't, I think it was like 2 kilometers. Like at least it was 25 minutes of pavement walking, which is so uncomfortable with a big backpack. And it's just a straight line. So you're not seeing any nature or anything. So we can either walk another 20, 25 minutes back, or we can decide to take a shortcut. And guess what we did?
We took a shortcut, and it was pretty interesting after we left the pavement, right?
Yeah, so we actually ended up taking 2 shortcuts. The first one was actually a good idea because according to Google Maps, we can stay on the road and we can walk to the Knockery Hostel, the first place we were going to be staying, within an hour and a half. But it was a boring walk, it was on pavement, and we saw there was a cut through a forest. We were like, oh, maybe this will take us there.
Yeah, but at the end, we took the path, which wasn't a path, which guided us through a thick layer of you call it moss, right?
Moss.
The greenest moss I've ever seen in my life, to be honest. It was beautiful. We really saw a nice landscape, but then there was a fence and a natural fence, a big fence out of hedges and how do you call these things who...
Like thorny bushes.
Yeah, right.
And it was just impossible to walk through.
Yeah.
So we had to just figure out, like, okay, where, like, which direction do we need to go to get to the hostel? And we went serious off-roading, like serious, like off-the-cuff trekking through the craziest woods.
The good thing is that we all three had good equipment with our shoes. Like, for example, if you would have used Nike Free to make this walk, I think you would never make it.
No way. Or if Sam wore his original plan, which was to wear his Gucci loafers instead of buying a pair of shoes or waiting for his luggage, there's no way we would have made it.
Right. But luckily, we made somehow our way through those thick hedges, and we found the original Wicklow way again, because this is actually the way we are walking. We are walking from the Marley Park that I mentioned before up to the end point of the Wicklow way, which is a 7 days walk. And this is basically our guided line for the next days. And we finished the day pretty late at 8:30 at the Knocktree Hostel. And its location is pretty unique.
It was like right next to the forest, and there was nothing for miles. I think you would need a car, and we didn't have a car, so we couldn't leave the hostel. And there's no restaurants, there's no bars, there's no cafes. So luckily, we had eaten before, and also they happened to sell like dry pasta and sauce. So I made us some pasta in the kind of guest kitchen, but it was a cool place.
Right, it was a cool place, and actually it was pretty full. There was a group of young students from France, and then also some other young travelers and also some couples. So it was a big mix in the middle of nowhere hostel, and it was so much fun. And but at the end, we didn't do much that night, right?
Yeah, I was exhausted. My plan was to start blogging about what we did every single day, and just to have, you know, everything posted and then edit some videos and all this stuff. But I was so tired. I just sat on the couch, they had some DVDs for rent. So I put on, I don't know. I'm so exhausted. I just want to go to bed.
Right. That's what we did at the end then.
So actually, one cool thing was those French kids. How cool of an experience is that for them to be able to go to Ireland and to this forest and say this big hostel? Is this something that you guys did in Germany?
Not at that early age.
Because so, they were what, like 8?
Yeah. I would say 10? Something between 6 and 10. Let's say like that. Maybe not 8 and 10. Yeah. Right. 6 would be probably too young. And they had 2 teachers accompanying them. And I think they had so much fun in this hostel and also in exploring the woods around it. And I remember that the first trip we did as students, we were already 13 or 14 to leave the country, you know. So our first trip was back then to London, but we were 13 or 14. So this is pretty crazy. And I really like the idea to make kids again play in the forest and to experience the nature more.
So in the U.S., I think Americans listening to this are like, what? Like, you're complaining that you have to wait until you're 13 to leave the country on a school trip? We are lucky even if we can go, like, down the street. Americans don't, like, American kids don't get to go anywhere.
Well, that has to be changed.
And it sucks. I think it's one of the worst things
right.
because it's so fun as a kid to be able to go and explore new things, you know, and see new places. But the two problems is one, is funding, where schools and, you know, don't have the money to go on, you know, bring these trips. And then secondly, they're afraid of like lawsuits, you know, something happens or like a kid gets hurt or something.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And this trend we also see in Germany, and I'm pretty sick of it. Like, if this is like determining your life, telling your kids, okay, or telling the school, if something happens, I sue you. Well, then just stay with the kids inside in the classroom and have no fun at all and no experience at all. And I'm definitely of the opinion that this is not the way it should be, right?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that there should be a way where I don't really see any reason why you can't do it, because if there's no funding, it's okay. Just say it's going to cost $40 per kid. And then for the parents who can't afford it, there should be like a little fund for other parents to say, do you want to give an extra $5 or $10 to be able to help these other kids go? And they'll do it.
Yeah. These systems are in place at some school and it works. So everyone, even people or students from low income families are able to do it. So I think this is not an issue.
Yeah. So I definitely encourage schools to kind of rethink or be able to, you know, maybe organize the trips, because I think it's such a learning experience for
Definitely.
Kids to be able to get out in nature. And if you guys have not come out in nature and done either hiking or camping, or now what we're doing is a through hike, where we're actually walking through and staying at different places every night, I highly, highly encourage it.
Definitely, yeah. And that's what we did, right? We went into nature the next day again after a good Irish breakfast full of sausages, beans, eggs, and bacon.
And I didn't realize this, but sausage for breakfast is strange for you.
Yeah, I don't. Well, there's a special kind of sausage that you eat for breakfast and only for breakfast, which is called Weißwurst. It's typical for the region of Bavaria in Germany, but these sausages, like grilled, you don't eat them for breakfast in Germany, no.
I think Americans eat anything for breakfast.
Sorry?
I think we eat anything for breakfast.
Okay. Well, I have to admit it tasted good.
It was good. But I think, yeah, as a Germany, like, they're like, 9. This is dinner sausage. And I'm like, who cares?
Well, you know, we follow our rules.
Okay. So second day, what'd you think of it?
Well, the second day was amazing. And right after 1.5 hours of walking through the forest with some inclines, we made it to this waterfall. And I think this was, until now, one of the most beautiful things we have seen. It was unfortunately a bit in the background, because when we were closer to it, you didn't see anything anymore because of the fog. However, we took some beautiful pictures. We picnicked there a bit to see it. And, I don't know how high the waterfall is, but I read something about 125 meters. So not a small one.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the biggest ones I've seen. And what actually sucks is there's a lot of places that advertise waterfalls. And you get to it and you're like, what is this? So nowadays, I always look, Google image a photo of the waterfall before I like spend my time going to it.
Right. But it was definitely worth it. And this was a good spot. That's for sure.
So what did you think of the hiking the second day in total? Are you exhausted by then or what?
Yeah, last night I was super exhausted. My knee started to hurt a bit, and we had a lot of inclines, and I think that what makes it so difficult. I think around 650 meters, right, was the total?
Yeah, and it's the nice thing about this hike is it's not necessarily like summoning a mountain, which can be, you know, a thousand, you know, like way more, you know, but this is a lot of like small mountains or hills going up and down and up and down. So, and we had the heavy pack on us. I think mine weighs, I wish actually would have waited. I was so afraid though that the airline wouldn't let me bring it on. You know how much it weighed?
You mean as a hand luggage?
As a hand luggage. Yeah. So it's a 40-liter pack, and it's filled up plus 2 liters of water, which in itself weighs 2 kilos. I would guess my pack weighs at least 10 kilos.
Yeah, that might be true. Yeah, and this is like additional equipment, especially when you drink as much water as you do, right? Yeah. In the morning, putting 2 kilo or 2 liters, which equals 2 kilo of water in your backpack. You noticed that. You noticed that for sure. Yeah,
it's definitely heavy. And I was so exhausted last night that after dinner, we went to the bar to have a drink. I ordered a Jameson. I took a sip, and then I said to you, "Good night."
Right.
And you thought I was joking.
Yeah, I thought you were joking after we actually were staying in a super nice bed and breakfast. It's called the Coach House in the small village of Roundwood. So actually we had a super diverse walk there. We had forests, we had the mountains, then we had like lawns. And finally we had to leave the Wicklow Way for 2 kilometers to go to the village of Roundwood. We stayed there. We had a good dinner and
good dinner.
Yeah. What did you have again?
I should remember. Oh, I had I had roast beef with two types of potatoes. One was a mashed potato and a roast potato. I had some broccoli on the side, gravy, a Guinness. It was amazing. It was
the Guinness. Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah, I went with the traditional burger, and as you know, I like Guinness, but only one or two. So I decided to have a lager last night.
At least it was an Irish lager.
That's true. Actually, the lager of the brewery of Guinness, so the Guinness brewery produces this lager. It was called something 13. I don't know. I think Hop 13 or something. Definitely can recommend it. And as Johnny said, we ended the night, or at least Sam and I ended the night with a round of dart. But I think we can definitely improve. But as, after such an exhausting day, I think we are excused to not perform well.
That's right. Well, at least we got some good sleep last night. And this morning, woke up, had a nice breakfast again. Sam was lucky enough where the manager of the Coach House graciously let him leave his luggage, which finally arrived from the airport. And it was actually funny because they originally sent it to Roundwood, the hostel, and Sam had to call him and say, "Hey, I'm not there anymore. I'm walking to the next one. Can you bring it there?" And all of a sudden we are in the middle of nowhere, this little tiny town, and Sam has rolling luggage.
Yeah, I guess this was a bit of an uncomfortable situation, having the rolling luggage on a hiking trip. So it was definitely out of place. But as you said, luckily, Sam could have left the luggage there, talking to the owner, which was a great guy. Seriously, I can just recommend the Coach House for everyone who's going through Roundwood or in the area of Dublin. And so this problem was solved, right?
And I think little problems like this is kind of what makes these adventures exciting.
We had that talk before, I think, on the way, and I'm not sure if I agree, because I think you would enjoy even more when you didn't have to deal with those little problems, right?
So we should stop making problems for no reason. So luckily, now it's day 3, and this morning, my legs just didn't work. I mean, from 2 long days of hiking more than 20 kilometers a day.
Yeah, so it totaled above 45 kilometers.
Which in miles is, what, 30-something miles or something. It's a lot. I mean, it's doing, you know, basically a half marathon every day.
Yeah.
And I was so exhausted. My legs this morning, it literally took an hour for them to start working. Like,
right.
I was so far behind, even though it was a, like, pretty flat road. I just couldn't catch up. My legs were just like, no, Johnny, like, go back to the bed and breakfast. And I think for a second, I thought that. I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just go back and I'll meet you guys at the next one. But luckily, I just persevered. I put in my headphones and listened to a podcast. And I was like, let me just get through this. And surprisingly, after about 2 hours, all of a sudden, I had all this energy. And if anything, at some points, I was in the front.
Right. You were right next to us. I was wondering in the morning, like, how you feel. And but at the end, it turned out okay, like the last days again. What personally helped for me a lot was the Tiger Balm you gave me, right? This special, how do you call that? This special.
Like, if you guys don't know what Tiger Balm is, you guys are missing out. It is a ointment that you can rub on muscles or joints if you have pain. I don't know if it was invented maybe in Asia, definitely Asia somewhere, but it's like the original version of Icy Hot.
Yeah, and it's amazing. My knee didn't hurt anymore and I could walk as I was like 15 again. And yeah, so we made it through the day. And actually what was interesting on the day, do you remember this one little house they created for hikers?
Yeah, it was they call them like a lean-to.
Yeah.
I've read about them when I was researching the Appalachian Trail, which is a six-month hike through in the east coast of the U.S. that goes from, I think, Georgia up to somewhere past New York. It's a really long trail. And what's funny is because I was researching what I should bring for the Wicklow walk, and there was very little information about it, I had to research like other hike throughs, which are way harder. So I'm a little bit overprepared.
Yeah, but well, this was nice to see, right? That there's a chance for a hiker if you want to spend your night outside, that there's something provided, that you have a fireplace, that you have a saw to cut the wood, and that you also have a place to sleep, right? And yeah. I think this is really beautiful, and the view was amazing again, right?
Yeah, beautiful place. We've seen now just one person camping, but we've seen a couple places where you can tell people camp there. There's like a little place for campfire. I think the way that we did it was fine, where we stayed in either hostels or bed and breakfasts every night. And that way we don't have to carry a tent. We don't have to carry a sleeping bag, even though I'm carrying a small one. And it's overall easier, but I think it would be beautiful to camp out here.
Yeah, definitely. But I think to be really comfortable with that, I need to have 5 or 10 degrees more during the day, or also during at night too. Otherwise, you have to carry too much equipment for the night, you know, a thick sweater, a good sleeping bag and stuff like that.
And the biggest problem with camping in Ireland is that it rains every single night.
Right. That makes it really, really annoying when all of your stuff is wet in the morning and you just feel like, wow, I want to stop.
Yeah, so I would not personally recommend camping through the Wicklow walk, but I definitely recommend people do it. Look, and it seems so far it's only been 3 days out of a total of, I think, 8 days is the whole Wicklow walk trail. So far, it seems like it's very, very well planned out and mapped out.
Definitely, I agree. And right now, we arrived today after 12 kilometers walk. So we had just like a half day of walk in the famous ancient city or village of Glendalough. And Glendalough was founded by a monk back in 1600 after Christ. And after lunch, you remember, Johnny, we walked through the reminding, or how do you say that?
The remains of the temple, I guess. Not a temple, it's a church.
The cathedral. There was a big watchtower. And nowadays,
it's like a graveyard now.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I guess it's always been a graveyard. I think in history, there's always been graveyards kind of with and churches together. But what's really cool is that tower is still perfect.
Right. And the history is crazy here because they tried to invade that monastery for a couple of times. And somehow this tower was able to still be standing like a strong man. Let's say like that, right? There's nothing got touched and the stones are original.
Yeah. And whoever built it was very, very smart, strong. And that's why still here. And this whole place actually reminds me a little bit of like Gladiator or Braveheart, which I know Braveheart took place in Scotland, but I think I've read that they actually filmed some of it here along the Wicklow.
I can't imagine. And it looks really, It looks really amazing here. And next to the monastery, there's a small river. And also we have here in Glendalough two lakes. But we will see them tomorrow when we continue our walk to the village of Glenmalure.
So unfortunately, tomorrow is going to be the last day you're going to be joining us.
Right.
Because you have to go back home for prior engagements.
Exactly. I have to fly back home and then do some work, actually, for finishing my university. And then I'll meet my girlfriend in Paris for her graduation. And yeah, that's why I can't join any longer.
That's a shame. We would love to have you longer.
Thank you very much. Well, I can just say the first 2 days were amazing. I'm looking forward to the next day, right?
Yeah. So I'm sure people are kind of wondering, if you're a student right now, how are you funding all your travels?
Well, I did some internships where I got some savings, and also I have a part-time job where I work as a, let's say, business researcher for a private company. So they pay me hourly, and that's basically all the money I'm getting there I put into traveling. And on top of that, I'm lucky that my parents support me a bit, and also I have a scholarship.
Okay, smart guy.
Yeah. No, well, I'm lucky with that, and but for the traveling, I also always take the savings of my works. Yeah.
So it kind of shows that regardless of where you guys are financially, if you guys want to travel, you can. Just save up for it. Maybe save some money. Don't go out drinking every weekend when you're at home. That way you can go out drinking every day while you're out here.
Right. And that's what I'm doing. Like when I know I have a trip in front of me, I'm saving in my everyday life, and that I can enjoy the trip really. And I think we'll do that tonight in the pub with one or two Guinness.
I like it. So any kind of parting words for everyone?
Well, it was really nice to join this podcast, and two things I can recommend everyone that I learned from this trip. First, try to give something back to people that were not as lucky as you were when you were in your childhood or when you were working. I think even small donations or small efforts for doing something social can have a huge impact for the people who are affected. And for my opinion, they really appreciate it. And second, I have to say, come and visit Ireland or join Johnny on his trip. I mean, he's still going for 30 days. And when I look around, we are still sitting outside here. It's so beautiful. And I've never seen more green than here. I can see the mountains. I can see the lake. I mean, what do you want more?
I definitely agree. And on that tip, Ireland is really only green and sunny for 2 months of the year. So if you guys can't make it this year, make a plan to come next May or June. Definitely do the Wicklow
Way.
It is awesome. I'll be writing my full guide to it on johnnyfd.com. And if you guys want to donate to the charity and support not only the kids in Cambodia, but also raise awareness for this walk, as well as just, you know, getting the word out there, click on the link, watch the video on the GoFundMe. That link will be in the show notes of this episode. So Fabian, Dankeschön for coming on the show.
You're welcome. It was really a pleasure, and I hope I did a great job. It was my first time that I spoke into a podcast, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's just been hanging out.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you. Ciao. So want to give a big thank you to everyone who's been taking the time to leave these amazing 5-star reviews of the Travel Like a Boss podcast on iTunes. You guys are the reason why we're able to grow the show as much as we do. Also, big thank you to our sponsor, TripStreak.com. The next time you guys need to book a flight, whether it's out to Ireland to come do the Wicklow walk or wherever you guys are going to go next, make sure you go to TripStreak.com/Travel Like a Boss. See you guys all next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Travel Like a Boss podcast. If you want to hear more, including the bonus, How to Choose the Perfect Niche episode, join our mailing list at travellikeabosspodcast.com. See you next week, and remember, if you want to travel like a boss, you need to be your own boss. So start your online business today and start living the lifestyle you've always dreamed of.